Blog Talk Radio.
You're on his nutsack. Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hours show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Boom, with the topic, sorta like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, sports fans? You know what time it is, so you are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports on the WRS Podcast Network. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here with my brothers, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and that ball B. Austin. The sports week was rocked by scandal, but especially dominated by the Ray Rice situation. And yes, we're going to talk about it, even though we've discussed it all week. We're going to try to put this to bed. This is what we do. On the big show, on the Thursday show, we try to put all these issues that we spoke about all week to bed. Hopefully we don't have to talk more about it until more stuff comes out about it. But there were 3 other controversial stories that took place as well that y'all may not even heard about because Ray Rice, his news dominated the news cycle. So join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. We want to hear your opinions as well. So you can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline. That number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. But before we get started, you know we got to remind you guys to check out the great shows on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. The network, you can get there from our main site, warroomsports.com, or you can get there directly at wrspn.com. Don't forget those sites. WRSPN.com or WarRoomSports.com. You'll find great shows such as our show, The War Room, The Broad Street Line, which is a Philly sports show, as well as a national sports show. They do a little bit, they do it all, with hosts Roy and Chris. You can hear After Further Review with the Mayor, The Season Ticket with Mojo and the Gang, and a whole lot more. You can also check out the listings at FatsRadio.com. That's P-H-A-T-Z. Radio.com for airtimes of all your favorite WRSPN sports shows. Not all of our shows, just our sports shows, including our show, The War Room, which airs there Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. What's up, fellas, man? Was this a crazy week or what?
Yo,
man,
my head's still spinning, man. I got so many people I hate after this week.
All right. Yo, and the crazy part about it is, like, you can't script this stuff. I mean, you got this Thursday night game in Baltimore. They got copters flying over the stadium right now taking video.
Rihanna was supposed to. And that's why the footage dropped when it did. But, you know, never mind.
But, hey, that too. But you got Rihanna, who was supposed to sing the Open. She just got pulled off of the CBS Open tonight. That happened in the last few hours. It's crazy, man. You got the San Francisco 49ers suspending an announcer because he said on air, why did Jhené Palmer marry Ray Rice after that whole thing? Ironically, they have a player who's, you know, he's awaiting his charges or whatever he's awaiting, Ray McDonald, for assaulting his pregnant fiance or pregnant wife. It's just a lot of irony going around this whole situation, and we had a lot of conversations this week that, I don't know, some people's opinions on this whole thing, I can't fathom how some people, especially men, especially black men, can fix their mouths to say some of the stuff that I heard them say, but I hope a lot of people calls in tonight and gives their opinions. You know, because a lot of people had so much to say on social media, they claim, you know, some people say they're going to call in. Check us out, have a conversation with us. No matter if you agree with us, if you don't agree with us, call us and talk to us about it. We're going to start that Ray Rice conversation probably in about 35 minutes. So keep it locked right here, and we'll get to that. We hope to have a lot of participation on the phone line tonight. Fellas, let's talk about what else happened this week. while everybody was on the grind, because I don't think anybody thinks anything else happened in the world this week except for Ray Rice. All right, while y'all on the grind, as usual, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, which for a sports fan is probably the most important thing you can have in your life right now, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. All right, man. Week one of the NFL was filled with a lot of good games, but I'm sure you fellas heard about this story. The NFL has a new sponsor. Basically, Microsoft paid the NFL $400 million to use their tablets, the Surface. But on several of the broadcasts, you know how, you know, a lot of people out there think there's only like two phone companies, tablet companies, which is Apple and Samsung. People think those are the only companies out there. So a few announcers kind of irresponsibly referred to the Surface pads the Surface tablets that they've been using on the sidelines, you know, with the coaches and quarterbacks or whatever. They referred to them as iPads, or in the case of Trent Dilfer, he said an iPad-like device. Or, I'm sorry, that was John Lynch. Yo, do you guys think? Like, if you're Microsoft and you paid this company $400 million to advertise your device, yo, like, how would you feel about their announcers making these kind of blunders?
Yo, first of all, it's Microsoft's fault that they fell off and put themselves in a position where they have to spend their last hard good earned $400 million on this play. So FOH to you, Microsoft, and you may be on the JoJo list. I haven't decided yet for spending that type of money on that type of play that's not really even getting the reach that you want. And then, you know, while I just dished you, slow it down, I would also like to offer a reprieve in that War Room Sports is willing to run on any football field in the world that you need us to, and I'm volunteering my brothers for $4 million, and we'll take your device around our midsection, but at naked on the 50-yard line. So
damn,
the offer is out there.
Yourself,
that's 1,000% cheaper. Then that's 1,000% cheaper than $400 million. We'll do it for four, and we will get you the same. We'll move the needle. We'll get you the same impression.
I'm not mad at them for spending. That's business. This is the NFL, man. I'm pretty sure they will get the reach that they're looking for if the NFL would make their money be well spent and train their damn announcers to say the right thing. So I don't think
that
JoJo worthy for doing
that. I completely blame the NFL. First off, it shows you the power of marketing because of what Dev just said. People think that there's only two phone manufacturers around, which is Samsung and Apple, which is the power of marketing. It's not that all the time their devices are superior. Sometimes they are. I've used the Surface Pro and let's just say I'm not a fan of it. But I did notice that, you know, because you guys know I watch Hard Knock. I kept talking about it. During Hard Knock, everyone had a Surface Pro. And because I'm like a nerd, I paid attention to it. I was like, yo, why are you using those? Now I know why. Because they got paid.
I
completely blame the NFL. I mean, even sometimes with Samsung, like I have a Samsung tablet. People all the time say, oh, you're on your iPad. I'm really not on my iPad, you know. But
people think every tablet is an iPad.
Yeah, from Apple. They were the first to market. Well, not really the first to market. I shouldn't say it. They were tablets years ago. But they popularized the tablet. Let's put it that way. And knowing that, everyone knows that, right? No one's stupid. Everyone knows that they call everything an iPad. So you have to give your employees specific instructions, like, yo, do not say. So I kind of blame the league, whoever was in charge of this whole rollout, because this is the first week and you already have a blunder. It was a great time to kind of like, you know, pay off the sponsor. He was trying to say the right thing. He just used the wrong, you know, the wrong name because, you know,
yo,
Drew Brees was sitting going through his plays, looking at all the progressions and everything, and he had the right, a good opportunity to, you know, kind of give their sponsor a shout out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he killed it. So it was, first of all, one of them was Lynch and one of them was Trent Dilfer. First of all, the broadcast with Trent Dilfer and Chris Berman was terrible that night. They need to not do that again. Jeez. Yeah, they need to not do that. I mean, they did it because, you know, they do the double Monday night on the opening day, so they get some guys from ESPN who really doesn't do that. I mean, Chris Berman has experience, but you already know that his shtick has long gotten old, and everywhere he goes, he does the same shtick.
Chris Berman, man, I have all sorts of respect for Chris Berman, especially after reading that long-ass book about ESPN and its history and you know, the part that he played in building the brand. So I have a huge amount of respect for him. Yo, but at some time, you just got to roll. I don't find him entertaining at all.
I know
anymore.
He got stock options. I know he got stock.
I mean,
so
you know, first of all, Chris Berman is like the highest paid employee at ESPN. Yeah. He makes more than most athletes. You know, you can look that up. He makes more than most athletes. But at the end of the day, like, that's just based on his longevity. He got that longevity. But I just don't find him entertaining. I don't find him informative anymore. It's just like it's the same thing over and over again. No disrespect, because he is a legend, and he earned that.
Yeah.
But if I'm being honest, I just don't like to watch.
The caricature
at this point. Anyway, NFL, that's a lot of money, man, that somebody spent with you. See, and I can feel them. You know, we run businesses, and if we want to spend money with somebody, we don't have $400 million, but on our level, what $400 million is to us right now, like, yo, we don't want to spend money with somebody and they go calling our stuff, the wrong thing. Like, come on, man.
All right.
But luckily, on the little on the booth
hours,
where they go under the booth
level,
to check the replay,
where they
check the replay on the booth, they got Surface logos there. So you know when there's a review going on, then you know people get to see the logo. But still, they got to do better with the announcements.
Well, let me ask you a question. Let me give one of my conspiracy theories. Maybe this was done intentionally to bring attention to the fact that they are using Microsoft now, because if not for this, most people would not even know that anyway.
Right.
So
I mean, they were going to make a stink regardless. Because I can see Microsoft executives sitting in the movie room of their house watching football on Sunday, like seeing this and just kicking stuff and then calling the other executive like, Bob, did you see this shit, man?
Like, yo, because here's the thing. Microsoft still makes a gazillion dollars because they have Enterprise on lock now. They're losing some of Enterprise now. But in terms of consumer products, They get it. Like, do you know anybody using a Microsoft phone or tablet?
Not personally.
Yeah,
exactly.
One, Skip Bayless of Battle Rap.
Well, yeah, he uses Android and Windows, but he only does that because he's a gamer and it connects to Xbox. But Xbox is kind of like saving Microsoft's butt. A lot of people don't even realize they own Xbox. But anyway, so this investment, they're trying to, get into that market. They're trying to come back in terms of consumer products. And I mean, what a fail. That's an epic fail on the part of the NFL. NFL is just having a bad week overall as an entity.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to the next story. Get it right, NFL. It's a lot of money. Let's talk about the story of Devin Steele. And if you guys out there in radio land don't know who Devin Steele is, he's a Cincinnati Bengals player who was actually cut from the team during the final cuts. But the Cincinnati Bengals brought him back, even though his performance in camp wasn't what they needed it to be. You know, they brought him back because they kind of understood why his head wasn't in football. And when I say brought him back, they brought him back to the practice squad. So, you know, on the practice squad, you make about $6,300 a week. But the most important thing is you keep your insurance, you know, your health insurance and all that. And Devin still needs his health insurance right now because his four-year-old daughter is stricken with cancer. She has something, she's diagnosed with stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a rare pediatric cancer. So they basically brought him back to the practice squad just to make sure he didn't have to move all the way across country to make sure he still had his insurance. I think this is a pretty good deed on the part of the Bengals because he's admitted that his head wasn't all the way in the football, and he was like, I understand they pay us to play football, and my head is not really in it, so I know I'm not performing well enough to be on this team. So he's grateful that they brought him back for those reasons. What do you guys think about this story? We don't hear so many feel good stories in sports.
No, we don't hear much good, but every now and again, there's just redemption for humanity in the oddest places, because right now the NFL, to me, is the poster child for huge corporate amorality, not really doing anything in terms of positivity for culture, society, principles, value. Everything is just based on a bottom line and managing perception of their to their consumers to a bottom line. So to hear this organization take a stand, you know, it probably didn't cost them that much to have that one 53-man, you know, roster spot taken up. So it's not really that big of a deal, but the gesture goes a long way, and it stores up a lot of goodwill capital for the ownership, the management, and the organization and its brand. Even if they are just going to have him run down on kick coverage and bust his head up on wedge,
like, in practice,
you still got to respect it.
Just in practice.
He's practicing. He's getting $400,000 a year, and he's going to be able to take help his family and fight the good fight with his daughter. So I respect it. I salute the Bengals. I hope they win every single stinking game that they play that's not against my Philadelphia Eagles.
I think it was a great gesture. That's the way you spend marketing dollars and get your money's worth. Because, you know, I'm a conspiracy theorist, so they knew they would come out looking rosy with this. I'm starting to, like, Dev, well, I don't believe
they're
anything.
They're like me.
Genuine.
Yeah, nothing genuine.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, though, it's still a great story. I ain't going front, and I read the story. I was, you know, somebody was cutting onions in the room. Because you see his daughter, like, you know, she's lost her hair, and he cut all his hair to, you know, just, you know, show his support of his daughter, man. It's a moving story. And the guy was like a third-round draft pick. He wasn't a slouch coming out of college. He was supposed to be a player. But his head just wasn't in the game. And, you know, and like you said, now we know why. But, I wish her the best, man. It's a great story. It's hard to root against the Bengals, but, you know, they're still the Bengals.
definitely
a great story. It's good to hear these kind of stories every once in a while, considering most of the stories we hear these days are nothing but scandal and craziness and JoJoism, so it's good to hear a story like this every once in a while.
No doubt, no doubt. Yeah, I mean, kind of like what B. Austin said, like, you know, it's one person. I mean, this is your practice squad, so not even on the 53-man. This is like one person on your 61-man roster.
Oh,
but at
so
the same time,
getting,
when you listen...
He's only getting like $60,000 a year.
Yeah, you're getting $6,300 a week. But the insurance, man, having health insurance, man, you take that for granted until you don't have it anymore, and he definitely needs it right now. But even though, you know, it's one spot, if you listen to NFL coaches and, you know, during the time of cuts and everything, they act like every single spot is of the utmost importance. So if you take them at their word, then, you know, this is probably a bigger deal than, you know, even – we're making it. So, I mean, because this man admitted, he's on record saying, I can't give 100% to football right now. And you don't know anybody else on another roster who can say that and will still be on that roster. So shout out to the Bengals, like you guys said. Let's take things over to B. Austin's Philadelphia Eagles, because we got ourselves a tip gate situation going on. You know, they got to throw gate on the back of everything. LeSean McCoy was eating at the burger spot PYT in Philly the other day.
Grub is amazing.
And Jimmy says, the grub is amazing. Cut the check, PYT. Y'all need to right about now, because your publicity is not on the positive side after this story. But until today, we could have said LeSean McCoy allegedly left a 20-cent tip on like a $65 bill. But he finally came out and spoke about it. So the story is indeed true. But what he was saying was, I tip on my service. There's a difference between good service and bad service and just having a bad day. There's a big difference between just being rude and disrespectful. That's how that went. Now, he's saying that the wait staff was rude to him. He said what you just said, though, Jimmy. He made sure he threw in there, the food is good, though. But he said the service was terrible. So the 20 cent tip, you know, he said that's making a statement, and I agree with him. Before we even knew that he did it, Jimmy, remember we talked about it, we were like, okay, that's definitely
zero.
A statement. Like, because leaving 20 cent to me personally is worse than leaving nothing. because that's basically just a kick in the face. Like, if I'm going to leave you 20 cents, what are you going to do with 20 cents? So supposedly he and his friends had lunch there on Monday, and this whole thing went down. The owner of PYT actually took the receipt, took a picture of the receipt, and posted it on his Facebook page, trying to get sympathy and you know, trying to, you know, basically give Shady a bad name, and that kind of backfired. And Jim, you said, you know, a lot of people in Philly were defending Shady on this?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. It's kind of wild because if you look at most of the national media, they made it look like it backfired on the owner, and it did, but only to a certain extent, because I am following PYT on Facebook because I am that greedy and the food is that good. So I was on the page looking when he posted the actual receipt, and it's about 50-50. You got people coming up there slamming Shady too, but with the blogs, they only put the negative stuff towards the restaurant. Yeah. Exactly. So if you look at the blogs, they never show you the stream continuously. They take, like, this message and that message, the ones that, you know, come at the restaurant. Now, with that being said, Eagles fans are sycophants, and Shady, how can I put this? Shady is the RG3 of Philly. Like, Shady can do no wrong in Philly right now. He's right. The face of the franchise, and people will defend him. It got to the point where people who've never even been to PYT, they, like, flooded Yelp and gave him all bad reviews to ruin the guy's Yelp thing. They're talking about not going there no more. And a lot of them have never been there before. Just the fact that you mess with our favorite Eagle. And you know how we live in a world full of, you know, followers and sycophants. So, you know, you can't measure
that
Shady. Shady is untouchable right now in Philadelphia.
Well, PYT, you got yourself a customer because when I come back home, I'm going to try it out because I'm personally, you know, I'm on a personal quest to try every reputable burger in the nation. So if there's a
great burger joint anywhere
I'll go, I'm going to taste it to see what the burgers are.
One more thing I do want to say, though. It's not even that I fault Shady, though. I'm not saying he's wrong because, you know, tips aren't required. It's the right thing to do, but tips aren't required. And at the end of the day, you have to earn a tip. I've gotten some terrible service, like, you know what I'm saying, at places, but I've also gotten great service where you give someone a huge tip because they treat you right. Like, it's nothing like that. I mean, yo, remember that time we was in Maryland?
I give out huge tips every night, but
yo, we was at that place and a chick was like throwing drinks on me, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, man, come on, man! Like,
yo,
good service.
You feel like a whole pitcher of ice water on your lap, like
a whole pitcher of ice water is dropped on that old muff.
She kind of like,
man. Yeah,
anyway,
man.
She looked at you like,
I knew
that was going
to
happen.
Give me a charm of friendly kiss to clean that up.
Her response really was, I knew that was going to happen. Okay, if you knew
you
should have prevented whatever you thought, you know, whatever made you think that was going to happen, you should have taken measures to prevent it from happening instead of going ahead and just doing it and then saying afterwards, I knew that was going to happen when my man's whole lap is filled with ice.
But when you get good service, though, you definitely want to take care of the person that gave it to you. And I don't care whether you're going to, like, your mechanic, whether you're going to get a haircut, whether you're going to get something to eat, like, good service is good service. I will sometimes go to a place that has maybe, like, an inferior product just because I enjoy the service that much. Shout out to Chick-fil-A. My pleasure.
I know. That's like a cult, man. They too nice. I don't trust those
people. My pleasure.
But anyway, it's just like certain times when you go to a restaurant, And the service isn't good. I mean, I just think that they've been conditioned since their salary, their hourly wage is so low, they've come to a point where, you know, the tip is expected, and they get complacent and forget what you just said and that a tip has to be earned. Like, it's not – like, a tip is a privilege, for real, for real. Like, I mean, I'm
but
not
you know
going to front like I haven't clowned people in the past for being
already. He was like, uh-oh, I'm about to come up.
Yeah, and probably just – did anything, or he might have just been like a Cowboys fan or something and treated him like trash.
Yeah, man, how about
and
that?
And expected to still get a good tip. All right, so, that happened, and actually Charlie Sheen jumped into the mix. I guess he wasn't getting enough attention, so he had to throw some tiger blood on the situation. So he tweeted, "Dear Tommy up in PYT in Philly, please tell Rob K I'm pledging $1,000 to him for the tip debacle. Just want to help. #NoJudgment." See, but The thing is, Charlie, you weren't there. So, you know, this guy could have treated you like trash when you went in there. So you're going to give the dude $1,000, and he might be in the wrong. But, you know, he might not
exactly.
be shady. He might
could,
just
like,
be a cheapskate.
So and messed up Charlie Sheen's Coke or something.
It's Coca-Cola or it's Coke?
Oh, no, that cocaine.
It don't matter. Either
you're
one.
Right. So I don't know. Like, I wouldn't know who to give a JoJo to in this situation because I don't know who was in the wrong because we weren't there. But maybe the videotape will come out soon. Maybe the videotape will come out soon, and then we'll see what happens.
I know who we can give one to, yo, because at the end of the day, somebody does deserve a JoJo award in this. I think it's your boy right here.
No, just do it, man.
But you... Yeah, you got to give him a JoJo award, because what does he
I
have to do
totally
with any of
this? Totally agree.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
He,
like,
I totally
in California
stay away from the crack, which I think is pretty good advice. Unless you can manage it socially, Dan. If you can manage it socially, then go for it. But not a lot of people can, you know?
All right, Charlie Sheen, for not minding your business. And to the NFL for not training your commentators after somebody gave you $400 million for them to be trained.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
And to Oscar Pistorius, who we're about to give you his story in a brief second before we even start.
Definitely.
All right, now we got that out of the way.
You're
I just wanted to let you guys know.
People.
I just wanted to let you guys know that the judge, because you know they don't do the jury thing over there. The judge in his murder trial has basically ruled him not guilty of premeditated murder in the shooting death of his girlfriend. But they found him negligent. What they call over there is culpable murder. Which means, you know, basically, you were negligent in killing the girl. It's kind of like, yeah, like Brielle. It's like manslaughter over here. So that carries a maximum of 15 years in prison. So we don't know what his sentence is yet, but he's probably going to do some time in prison. I'm not sure how much, but he got off of the long ride. So.
Yeah,
that's the Oscar Pistorius story. I don't know if you guys got any thoughts on that, or y'all just want to jump into these birthdays.
Oscar knew what he was doing. He had a leg up on. He had a leg up on. You know the government over there. So
oh, he had a leg up though. He got bars.
Or little thing. Bars.
Yeah, y'all crazy. All right, Jim. Let everybody know who's having a birthday today.
You already
and after
know.
That,
to
we're gonna talk to
birthday.
Fred Perdue. And then we're going to talk that.
Absolutely. The birthdays are brought to you by Digital Extreme Technologies. Do you or your business need a custom website? Well, for dynamic, professional, and most of all, affordable custom website solutions, you need Digital Extreme Technologies. No need to break the bank for an effective online presence. Top-quality, results-driven websites at an incredibly affordable prices. Financing options available. Visit DigitalExtremeTech.com or call 267-205-4203, and they get a discount. Make sure to say War Room Sports sent you. That's how you read a drop. No money team. It's time to get in the birthday. First birthday is Sean Livingston, turns 29. He seems
how
like
old
he's
is,
a lot older
how
than that.
Old
he's
is,
older than an NBA year.
How about say how old did his knee turn today?
Sean Livingston is 29 and his knee is 59. One of B. Austin's favorite athletes of all time. Ed Reed turns 36.
Ed Reed. Yo, he's out there
the
trying
other
to get back off the Ravens on the sneaky.
The other Wilkins. Gerald Wilkins turns 51. And or one more. Rest in peace shout out to the legendary Tom Landry. His birthday was September 11th, which is today. So rest in peace to Tom Landry.
Rest in peace to the coach. Yo, for a long time, he was the only coach that team had ever had.
Yo, Tom Landry was coach for, like, a couple of decades.
I thought they were going to keep him and just let him down on the sideline, but they finally got rid of him.
Like Al Davis?
Yeah, yo. Weekend at Bernie, Weekend at Al's.
Yeah, also Bear Bryant. Yo, shout out to at KCMac38 on Twitter. You know how he does. Gave us Bear Bryant. Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah.
Shout out to them as well. Absolutely. And those are the birthdays.
All right, everybody. Y'all know the drill. Y'all can check out our website, warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's a weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, make sure you take some time to click on the memorabilia tab to buy some War Room Sports merchandise, support the bruhs. Click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair and Sports and More blog. Then click the respective icons and tabs to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com, to listen to our network at wrspn.com, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on Android and iOS to get everything I just mentioned on the go. So join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, because in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to be talking about that story of the week. So I want everybody to get into the chat room. If you want to call in, you know, you can call in. But I'll give you the call-in information in a second if you want to enter the chat room. And you can sign up for that free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign into your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, make sure you click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. So if you want to call in and speak to us directly, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk, and we're going to open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline right after we hear from Fred Perdue, our Miami Hurricanes insider for Sports Talk Florida. He's going to come on, as he does every week, to give us his college games of the week. But before he does that, we're going to just let you guys know that Hot Topics today are brought to you by Jimmy. You got that? Yo, we lost Jimmy.
This is how you talk about a sponsor. Like, I'm not going to take the $400 million they paid us and not talk great about this sponsor, because this is the favorite sponsor. You know what it is. That's Audible. If your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible. That's audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. Listen, Game of Thrones fans, all of the books are on Audible. Just go to audibletrial.com/warroomsports and try one. You may want to read the books before the next season starts. That's the tip I'm on right now. Shout out to people who love Game of Thrones.
Yeah, and if Ray Rice don't get reinstated, Janae Rice might have a book on Audible in a few years, so look out for that. Let's get Fred on the line. We got our guest on the line with us now. And, of course, as usual, like you guys know, every week we talk college football with Fred Perdue. He's our Miami Hurricanes insider for Sports Talk Florida. He's going to come on with us and give us our games of the week. Fred, what's going on, bro? You there?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you?
Pretty good, man, pretty good. Enjoying this college football season.
Making sure that I don't have a quarterback like Jay Cutler.
Oh man, Jay Cutler. We're in full effect now, man.
We got NFL, we got college for football lovers, man. It's like heaven right
heaven.
Now. I know it's very, very difficult for ladies to get their men out of the man case for the next few months. But the crazy part is, if you look at the statistics, the women are right down there with them. So, you know, it's evening up a little bit. But let's get right into these games of the week, man. We know you got a few, and, you know, we're going to end it off with some talk about the U. But let's start off with Georgia versus South Carolina. What's your thoughts on this one?
Well, South Carolina, they struggled early on in the season. You had a big loss to Texas A&M to start off the season. Didn't really look all that great against East Carolina, who ran a similar offense under Ruffin McNeil. I look for Georgia to – it's not going to be a blowout, but I think this game is going to be very, very controlled by the Georgia offense. You're going to have guys like Todd Gurley really just being an all-everything back for them. Hudson Mason is going to distribute the ball. They're going to go up-tempo. Steve Spurrier might throw his visor a couple times because South Carolina's defense is terrible. They were overrated coming into the season after losing Jadeveon Clowney, another All-American on their defensive line, and two All-Americans in their secondary. And yet they were number nine in the country, very overrated. And I think South Carolina's going to look – they're going to be 1-2 going into week four of the season. And their SEC championship hopes will be dashed.
Okay. Dunzo.
Fred, the next game that we got to look at is the Bruins versus the Longhorns, UCLA versus Texas. Come on with the come on, get down with the get down. What's going to go on in this game?
Well, UCLA, they were highly touted coming into the season. Brett Hundley was one of the highly touted quarterbacks going into next year's draft. He looks great. The rest of the team doesn't, and that is really shown on the field. Not so much. The defense is a ball-hawking type of group. But offensively, they're just not clicking like they're supposed to. And without Brett Hundley, this team may not look good. But on the flip side, Texas doesn't look great either. When you have a team in Texas losing to BYU in back-to-back years and back-to-back blowouts, when all you can do is muster 7 points after just a coaching change, a quarterback change in Tyrone Swoops, who is actually a distant cousin of Cheryl Swoops. Actually, he was a highly touted guy out of high school, but he just continues to look like a wide-eyed freshman. And I really don't like what I see from Texas, and Charlie Strong is getting rid of – is he going to have an offensive team by the time the end of the year comes? He's up to about 9 or 10 guys he's kicked off the offense so far.
Cleaning house up there. All right, let's go Tennessee versus Oklahoma.
Oklahoma looked really good early in the year. Trevor Knight, who is Johnny Manziel light in many circles. But I really think Tennessee is going to be that team that is going to surprise you. They're not going to win this game, but they'll keep it close. Justin Worley has great knowledge of the offense now. And when you have a guy like Pig Howard, who is a very, very good receiver in the SEC, they're going to be very competitive. I think Oklahoma is still going to dominate, and Oklahoma is a little bit overrated, but Tennessee's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm. So the next game that we wanted to look at was ECU versus Virginia Tech, keeping it on the East Coast. What's going to happen here? What are your thoughts?
Virginia Tech, they have a transfer quarterback, Michael Brewer from Texas Tech, and he really looked good. He got his degree in 3 years, ended up transferring. He actually has one more year after this year of eligibility so he can come back and run this offense again. But this defense, it looks like the Virginia Tech of old. They held Ohio State. The minimal yardage made J.T. Barrett look like the freshman that he is. They're playing Beamer ball, and you have another Fuller brother coming out of Virginia Tech in that secondary, Kendall Fuller. He'll be another first-round pick like the rest of those defensive backs that come out of there. They run that 4-2-5 defense, deep safety in the middle of the field, and it's very confusing. Bud Foster's defenses are very good, and they're going to play great special teams. ECU, they run a very up-tempo, high passing percentage type of offense. But when you have a defense like Virginia Tech, they're going to lock that offense down. And I think Virginia Tech is going to win big. They tend to struggle against ECU, but not this time.
Not this time, my brothers. All right, look, man, you are our Miami Hurricanes insider, so you know we can't let you go without asking you about the – So the U this week has Arkansas State. The schedule hasn't been tough as of yet, but what do you see this week versus Arkansas State?
Well, after a very tough loss against Louisville, and struggling, for anybody that actually watched that game, struggling against FAMU, a MEAC school. 2-for-10 on third down against FAMU. This is not the Miami of old. I have a lot of issues with this team. This team on third down has not really converted well. Actually, if I remember the stat correctly, they have a combined five third down conversions. They're 5-for-28 on third down. And Arkansas State is not a bad team. They're going to run an up-tempo spread offense. The defense looks good, and they were the weakness of this team. Brad Kaya needs to continue to improve. The play calling needs to improve. Instead of running all of these screens and side-to-side movement, they need to go down the field. You have guys like Philip Dorsett, who is reported to run a 4.19 40. He's a blazer. He has bricks for hands. But if he can get down the field, he can make some plays. Stacy Coley, another 6'3 speed burner down the field. Clive Walford, another guy at tight end who could be a big-time player at 6'4". 250 pounds over the middle. You have Duke Johnson, who's always electric. He actually has more carries by himself combined. The rest of the team doesn't have as many carries as he does combined. He has about 29 carries going into this game. They're going to have to ride him, but I hope they don't do it to the point where they're going to run him into the ground, because they're going to have to find some depth. The player I really want to highlight in this game is going to be Denzel Perryman. He wears number 52 in homage to Ray Lewis, and he knocks guys out like Ray Lewis. If you have not had the chance to see him, please make sure you check him out on YouTube, check a highlight of him. You will be very impressed. He's about 6 foot, about 250 pounds. He's pretty quick, and he will knock your head off. These are great cover 2 type of linebacker who can get down the field, but also can stuff the run. And I think that team on defense will do some things to slow down this offense. Freddie Knighton from Arkansas State is a pretty good quarterback in his own right, but Arkansas State is not going to have enough to handle Miami up front. And they have a game looming next week, actually, going into Oklahoma. Into Nebraska, in the Lincoln, Nebraska. They're going to have to get everything right and shored up, because Nebraska is not a team to be to really take lightly.
All right. Well, there you have it, people. Those are your college football games of the week, and you heard it here straight from Fred Perdue, our Miami Hurricanes insider for Sports Talk Florida. You know, tell everybody where they can get in touch with you during the week.
You guys can reach me on Twitter at Purdue Sports, or you can just click over and visit me on sportstalkflorida.com. All the Miami Hurricane coverage you can possibly want. It's all about you, and it's always some great times over there.
All right, man. Well, you know, thanks as usual, and we will see. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, you too, man. All right. That's Fred Perdue, everybody, our Miami Hurricanes insider for Sports Talk Florida, with his weekly college games of the week. All right, now, fellas, this is the conversation that we've been having all week, all different platforms, the whole Ray Rice situation. We know that the videotape was leaked this week by TMZ, and it caused a firestorm within the media, within social media, with the fans. The NFL kind of went backpedaling, because, you know, Ray Rice was actually supposed to miss this week and be able to play the week after. After the fans saw this tape and all the backlash came, the NFL ended up giving Ray Rice an indefinite suspension. That was only after the Ravens ended up cutting him. Now, there's a whole lot of controversy going around the NFL and the Ravens about who's seen it before it came out. Did they really see it? Or, you know, it's just a lot of stuff going around. The NFL saying that they never saw the tape until Monday. The report that the casino gave to TMZ was that the NFL never asked for it. But then a detective came to the forefront and said that he actually sent the NFL a copy of the videotape. He has a voicemail confirming that they got it from a woman in the NFL offices. And, you know, in that voicemail, she's saying that, you know, it was indeed terrible. So I don't know what the situation is there. I don't know who's lying. Kind of looked like the NFL may be lying unless it's more scandalous than we thought. And this person who received the tape is actually the one who leaked it to TMZ and didn't give it to the league. Who knows? But, you know, we've had a lot of controversy around this issue. And we kind of took the social media throughout the week, and we kind of had issue with a lot of folks that we thought were defending Ray Rice in this whole situation. And I know, you know, B. Austin, I know you had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. What did you think when you saw the videotape? Like, what were your initial thoughts? Because we got some calls on the line that we're going to get to, but I want to get you guys' initial thoughts before we get to the phone line.
Yeah, and as you know, we're battle weary at this point from having this conversation with a lot of our listeners, a lot of our followers, fans.
Hopefully, this is the last time we have to have it, man.
yeah. I mean, all week. So I've got a whole lot to say on the topic, and we've got limited time, so I'm gonna just go with this. The initial impression of the tape is here's a man that spit on his wife twice, for his wife to be. At that time, they weren't married. But she was, you know, a loved one and longtime girlfriend, fiance, whatever. Spit on her twice, which, by the way, is deemed or considered assault for obvious reasons. Trying to provoke.
First of all, that's the worst thing you can do to me. I'd rather not being a female.
Yeah, I mean,
just on a male-to-male thing, I'd rather you steal me than spit on me.
Yeah.
Right, come on.
Awesome. On some ignorant-ish, like, you know, I spit on you or I pull my wang out and hang out and pee on you, and then you're supposed to respond by fighting. Like, that's what it is. Like, that's the ultimate disrespect that I can do to you, and if the response isn't you fighting me, then, you know, that's a whole nother conversation for another time. But he spit on her. This is the woman he loves. This is the woman he's a fiance. This is a fiance. He spits on her.
She smacked
him back, which is a self-defense response. But again, she's somewhere between 130 and 150 pounds woman, 5'6", 5'7", 5'5", whatever, smacking a professional NFL running back whose life is based on collisions, hitting, and power. So he's in the best shape of his life. She smacks him. That doesn't mean anything. Then he hits her with a roundhouse that is worthy of a man, connects, knocks her out cold. She leaves the realm of a living conscious, on her feet, falls, hits her head against metal in the elevator, which could have turned ugly, as you said, Dad. That could have led to a loss of life or something much more serious. He doesn't catch her as she's falling. He doesn't think, oh, my God, I lost my temper. I hit her. Let me catch her. He lets her fall. Then the part of the tape that we all saw early in February and March, he drags her, half throws her off the elevator like a sack of potatoes. Like, this is what we saw on the tape. Utterly filthy and disgusting action. Now, I'm not going to judge Ray Wright because I don't know his story beyond, you know, the realm of football and what he went through in life. I don't know what his home life was like. I don't know where he got it in his mind and spirit that the behavior was okay, or whatever response to what provoked him to get there was okay. So I can't judge the man, but I can judge his actions. So I'm not condemning him because I don't know what he'll end up being later on in his life. He could end up redeeming himself and being the spokesperson for, you know, against domestic violence, you know, much the way Michael Vick turned into the spokesman against dogfighting. I don't know. But what I do know is that action was probably one of the most deplorable things that I've had to watch a man and woman engage in based on a loving relationship. Like, that was nuts. That was crazy. And then what led us to the whole situation, real quick, Devin, and I'm done because we got it. People were defending or excusing or explaining his actions within the context of unfair treatment in terms of his punishment leveled and consequences leveled by the NFL and the corporate sponsors, like double jeopardy, you punish them once, you're punishing them twice. No, that's the least of our words.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
As
we'll
a
get
human
to that
being.
Because I agree with you that I think like
that,
a lot of the people, people's focus was kind of off on that, and we'll get to that. My initial thoughts when I saw it, because a lot of people, you know, and this is kind of just to the people like, well, why were you surprised? You know that he knocked her out, so what were you expecting to see? I just think there's a different level of reality to something when you hear it versus when you actually see it, because seeing it, it just took us completely out of the realm of speculation. Like, for weeks, for anybody who cared, for anybody who talked about it, all we could do at that point was speculate, and you never – you know, you just didn't know what happened. Okay, we know she ended up knocked out, but we didn't know if he pushed her against the wall. Maybe she hit her head on the wall. Maybe they had an all-out brawl. Maybe they were scrapping, and she was getting it in with him as well, and she ended up knocked out because that's just a fight that she can't win. But, like, and even in some of it, not defending him, you wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt that this might have been something where, I mean, he still shouldn't have engaged, even if that was the case, and they were just having an all-out brawl. But you wanted to just, you know, not completely. I don't even know what to say in that because it's a lot of sensitivity around this issue. But I just kind of wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt in the whole thing. But when you see it, he was the aggressor the entire time, and I know that we know some people who saw it a different way. But what I saw and what was confirmed by the story that came out by the two security guards who were the closest to the situation, he spit on her before they got into the elevator. And what people are calling a slap was basically a flick to get him away from her. Once they got on the elevator, he got back in her face. So for everybody saying she charged him and that, he got back in her face, spit on her again, and as she came at him because of that, he hit her with a little soft left. She came at him again. That's when he really hit her. So I saw him as being the aggressor the entire time, and that's just not what I expected to see when the videotape came out. So that's why it was a little horrific to me because, I don't know, with every ounce of me, I tried to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt of maybe this was just, a straight-up rumble. But to me, he seemed like he bullied that girl. Jimmy, get your initial thoughts real quick about when you saw it, and then we'll go to our first call.
Yes, sir. This week I've been called everything from Captain Save-A-Ho to, to a sellout and all that. But I keep telling people, man, listen, man, everybody knows that I'm as pro-black.
Captain Save-A-Ho.
I'm as pro-black as it gets, yo. But at the same token, I look at the black woman as being the mother of all civilization. So when I look at this, I don't look at a black man, being taken advantage of or oppressed. I look at a black woman being attacked. With that being said, I actually hope that the young man gets help. I don't know him, so I don't know what's in his heart. I know what I saw on that tape, though, and I agree completely with Dev. Like, the tape takes it to a different level. I mean, we knew that, black men were getting beat by the police for years, but when Rodney King was caught on tape, it kind of changed the game. You know what I mean? The same thing with Oscar Grant, the same thing with Eric Garner. Like, tape, the video evidence changes everything. And for people to try to ignore that, I mean, it's just ridiculous. You can compare him to somebody today told me Michael Irvin snorted coke, Dion hit his wife, and Ben Roethlisberger. I'm like, yo, I ain't see tape of none of that. And I know you can say, well, it still happened, and maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But at the end of the day, the video footage changes everything. I mean, it's a bad situation. Shout out to Tiana Taylor. I heard it may be over her. And if it was, I wonder what she thinks about her jaw hitting his jaw. But it's a bad situation, man. It looks bad on the NFL. It looks bad on Roger Goodell. It looks bad on the casino. Everybody should be questioned. This is bigger than Ray Rice. I mean, because the cover up or what's perceived as a cover up. Not that it's just as bad as the crime, but it does look terrible. I mean, the NFL is having a terrible week because there were a lot of good games in week one, but
nobody's
even talking about it. I mean, today is 9/11, and I've cut TV on, and they're still talking about the Ray Rice matter. You know what I mean? So it's that deep. And people have to understand that this is 2014, right? So You can point to all the scandals you want to the athletes have been involved in, but it didn't happen in 2014. 2014 is completely different than this happening in, say, 1991. So, you know, I just can't defend what he did. Like I said, I'm not going to judge him, but I can't defend what I saw on that tape. There's no way I can't. I just can't defend it. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't defend, especially when you add in the fact he spit in this woman. Like, come on, man. Like, I can't. And I know that women can be aggressors. You know what I'm saying? I've seen, you know, a woman stab a dude in front of me. I had a woman pull a gun on me. You know, not to keep putting that out there, but at the end of the day, I know what it is. But I can't defend what I saw on that tape, yo. I just can't defend it. I'll leave it at that. We can get some callers on the line because people are talking.
All right, well, let's go to the Digital Extreme Tech hotline real quick because we got the brother Al on the line. We've been talking to him about this. He definitely disagrees with us. Al, what's going on, man? You're in the war room.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Okay, can y'all hear me?
What up?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, I know from our conversations that you disagree with, you know, basically what you saw on the tape was a little different than what we saw on the tape. So what did you see, and what do you think of the situation?
All right, what I'm saying is I'm not really defending my man. I'm just saying he's getting a raw deal, and they're making a bigger deal out of it than what it really is. Like, I don't believe his intention was, I'm going to knock this B out, and I'm a hooker. All I saw was she was coming at him, he slapped it hard, and she hit her head up against the wall, and she fell out. And I think he didn't even know she was knocked out. That's why he dragged her out of the elevator.
Well,
so I don't even
faking?
Think it was that deep. Yeah, I think he thought that.
But I just
like,
don't I don't understand how you don't think it was that deep. Even if he just slapped her. Like, because I give you that. I give you that the tape was grainy, so you don't really know if that was a punch, a slap, a hard mush to the face. But whatever it was, and I'm sure he didn't mean for her to hit the railing, but, I mean, this is all
right.
it all happened, whether he meant for all of that to happen anyway. And the fact is, he hit her, he did something to her that made her go flying into the wall. That's why you lose me, because I don't see how a bigger deal is being made out of that, because from the door, that's just not a fair fight. So why is he putting his hands on her anyway?
Well,
if she's charging him, like you say, why can't he just grab her? Why can't he just grab her? He's not stronger than her?
Because, see, this is the part that I get mad at the brothers for. Because everybody know particular type of woman, where she is. She is an aggressive type of woman. And she's not going for no talk. First of all,
how do we know
that? She's not going for it.
How do we know this? How do we know that? If
you,
you
know
get,
her?
If you walk past
right,
somebody
you
in a, right, in
I'm
a hallway.
Tell you how, I'm going to tell you how. You got to use the context clues. Because, first of all, they married today. This happened before they got married. So that's one. So she puts up with that kind of stuff. She's I guess, immune to getting beat up or having physical.
A lot
physical
of better harm. Women put up with it,
man,
for different reasons.
She's not
that could be out of
she's
fear,
not a better woman, though.
That could be
hold
out of
she's
fear.
Not a hold on, real quick.
How do you figure she's not a better woman? Because she fought
better. Hold on, real quick. Let me hit some out.
All better women don't cower in the corner, though. All better women don't cower in the corner. That's not the definition of better
women. No, he hell no.
Hold on.
You don't know how many people. Good, Jim.
This is Jimmy. I just want to say something. Like, even if I go with your theory that she's the aggressor and he hit her and she fell. It's like, listen, man, in the words of Mr. Butler, man, a hunt is on and you're the prey. They're looking for any reason to hang a black man in this country. You go to a casino where there are cameras everywhere. Like, my thing is, when you become a public figure, it's like people want to say, well, that's his personal business. It really isn't. You're a public figure. You're at the Revel Casino. There are cameras everywhere. And you give them an opportunity. You basically give them the rope to hang you. I don't think he's getting the raw deal because he was stupid enough to put himself in this position. You know what I mean?
Right,
that's my whole thing. Is you're dumb enough to put yourself in this position, so whatever you get, you had coming to you anyway.
And see, that's the wrong mentality, especially for black men to have. He thought
was
doing the right thing by waiting until he got into the elevator. Because he's looking at why is
so
he,
I'm
going
to wait to
he,
beat her up in the elevator. That's cool.
He's in a casino.
No, hold on. You misunderstand it. Hold on. You misunderstand it.
All right.
What I'm saying is he's coming to the elevator to check her. Now, he's about to lay his word down. Like, look, whatever, rah, rah, rah. And then and that's supposed to be the end of it. Don't come at me. I said my piece.
But he spit on her before that.
Oh, she's going to get her shit off. And then she got
like, what are you talking about? All
explain him spitting on her, though.
Rewind time then. Hold on. Let's rewind time then. Why is he mad at her to spit on her in the first place? Because she got too much mouth. She don't know her place.
So her having too much
mouth. Let me be clear. Hold on. Let me make my point. I want to be clear. I'm not condoning his actions. What I'm saying is this is what this particular couple, this is what they do. They fight. They physical. And she is complicit with it. This is how
here's my thing. Even if I go with that, which I really don't believe, but even if I go with that, you said that he got a raw deal. Yo, it's 2014. You put yourself out there. You gave the world a reason to look at you sideways. You know how sensitive the world is. I mean, what did he expect? When this comes out on the video footage, he wasn't just going to get a suspension. Not in the world we live in. Everyone is ultra sensitive. You can't say anything about anybody.
The NFL covers a whole bunch of dirt. Now you're saying that.
No, but here's the thing. The NFL was going to cover this up. Think about it. He was only getting two games until the world saw it and public opinion swayed.
He was being protected as well. That wasn't just them.
He was being protected. They had a press conference where they made her apologize. So my thing is, he was getting the same treatment as a Ben Roethlisberger, as a Ray Lewis, as a this person. They were giving him the same treatment. He was being protected until the footage became public. If the footage never went public, this thing is over. He gets a two-game suspension, and his life goes on. The fact of the matter is, once it goes out there, they have to be reactionary. They're running a business.
Why?
What? Oh,
man, you said on. Why? Because they're running a business.
They're running
anything
a business.
That, yo, any company, anything that affects your bottom line, anything that affects your bottom line, yo, there's no loyalty in business or sports. There's no loyalty.
They're making an example out of the Negro. He is a runaway slave.
So you're gonna make this into a black thing, a slavery thing. There is videotape of him beating up his woman. Let me ask you a question. Let me. Yeah. I find that hard to believe. I know we don't get a fair shake all the time, but if the reaction of the people would have been the same if the dude was white, and it would have been even harsher from the black community. And you know damn well they're sensitive to us bitching these days. Black people complaining.
Listen.
Yo, that was how many years ago? Listen to what I'm saying, though. Just a few months ago, mm-hmm. we kicked and bitched and scratched, and they and forced a man to sell his business because he said some racial stuff in the privacy of his own home. Why? Because it got leaked. Because it was audio that was leaked on TMZ, so he could not deny it, just like Ray Rice can't deny it. So let's not play the black card all the way on this one. He's not being
We had a black woman. He had a black woman. That's my whole thing. I can't play the race card with this because he's beating
a
black woman.
Black savage. Let's be clear. He ain't no black
woman. I don't know her to call her that. That's all I'm saying. I don't articulate about
it. You're my judgmental, Al, because you don't know that woman. And you feel
I don't know her and I don't know him. Like I said, I don't know what's in his heart, so I'm not judging him, but I am judging what I saw on the tape. That's all I'm saying. I can't judge her the same way. I'm not judging either one of them.
And I'm going to take back that savage comment. I'm going to take that back.
Let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question, because earlier you said, you know, we got to, you know, figure out the reasons of why he spit on her in the first place. Now, is there anything that your lady can do to you that would make you spit on her or hit her with a left hook like that? Is there a button that can be pushed?
She should do.
Yo, yeah. There's something that somebody can do that would make you spit on them.
That's why somebody
I have a better question.
Dude, what could she have done at this casino?
Side of the game.
Yo, what she lost at the roulette game?
Let me explain my point. For the record, I've never touched a black woman. I never touched a woman, period, in that manner. What I'm saying is this. They have gotten me mad enough, though, to want to murder them. Real rap. Because that's what they do. Now, this man, he don't have the patience that I may have or you may have or B. Austin may have. He snapped. She provoked him, though.
Listen, I get that, but the thing about it is this could be the worst thing he's ever done in his life, caught on tape. But here's my thing, Al. What if that was your sister?
Okay.
Would you give him the benefit of the doubt if that was your sister?
It wouldn't be my sister. I'm just saying, if that was your sister,
and you say your sister had a temper, and you saw that, would you, he
jumped in her face, man. So he was looking to steal her anyway. So what do you mean, what did your sister do?
Why, though?
Not have boyfriend?
Because she already made him mad. She already done cussed him out, because you know how they mouth
it. I get all that, but I'm saying this is all speculation.
Okay. This is all speculation. We don't know if she cussed him out.
We do know.
The rumor is she confronted him about another chick.
We don't know for a fact what she did. All we have is what he did, which is inexcusable. So now, if we want to take it even deeper, what you're saying is that a person who loses their temper, who cannot control themselves, which is really a part of the definition of a savage. So this man cannot control himself or his temper, so he flies off the handle. Me, I'm not a savage, so I don't look. First of all, before we ever get to this being a black and white thing, which it's really not, I'm a human being first. So from a human perspective, this is unacceptable. Next, I'm a man.
Why?
And as a man, I adhere to a certain code and moral ethic and my integrity. I'm not striking a woman. So we still haven't gotten to the black. We're just dealing with humanity, the human being,
the man. Can I interrupt, please?
As a black man, I'm not putting my hands on a woman. There's nothing that another human being can do that causes me to lose control of myself, and that is the standard to which I hold all of society. Sure, we all
fall short. Let me ask you a question.
So there's no judgment. There's no judgment for falling short of that standard, but he fell short in a major way and was caught out there spitting on this woman, punching her, and then throwing her out of the elevator, and you're making an excuse for that behavior as if it's her fault that he can't control himself. Get the fuck.
Wait a minute. Time out. I'm saying that this is how they do. This is particular couple. She's not innocent in this because he's not just beating on some random chick for no reason. This is his woman who he is familiar with, and he knows he can do this with her. And
there's no
on top
reason
of that,
to
she
beat
still
on
married
any
my man. Now, all right, now let me ask you a question. You're a man, and I'm a man. If I come to you and I spit in your face, and then I slap you, you going to hit me back, or you going to stand there and wipe the spit off?
No, if you as a man come to me. See, there was never
So it's okay for men to fight men, right?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going
a,
on
a
pure,
woman,
I mean,
so it's okay for me to defend myself.
Yeah, violence shouldn't be
the answer anyway.
But come on, man, you know it's not a fair fight from the door. It doesn't matter. That's a woman. What do you have to prove?
First of all, he's not beating her up. He hit her, and she accidentally hit her head on the wall. That's an accident. But that's what they
do. I've seen him hit her twice.
That's what
I say punching her in her face twice constitutes beating her up.
Hold on, let me get this off real quick. If he was really a savage, when he first got in the elevator, he would have punched her right in the face right there. Like that. Punched her.
So because
then it would have been over right then and there.
So because he went in there, jumped in her face and provoked her to try to slap him back, that makes it okay in comparison to him just going in there and beating her up.
It makes it okay for this reason. Because they
It's not okay. There's nothing that makes it okay.
Wait a minute.
Oh, you're tripping, man.
I'm not tripping. I know this type of woman. Even though y'all don't want to say she's that type. I'm saying even if she is,
that doesn't excuse what happened. If that's your sister, do you say, well, I know she gets upset at times. So if that's your sister, do you react that way?
Bro, right, it could be my daughter. If I knew my daughter got down like that, I'm minding my business.
Whoa! I mean, there's nothing I can say to you.
Ain't nothing
we
can say to you
after
that. Ain't nothing we can say to you after that.
If my daughter and my sister are innocent in this, because I know that they are, that's why I could jump and put them on my gorilla suit. My daughter and my sister tell me they got hit. I know it ain't their fault. I could take that for granted.
How you know? She could call. Yo, she could have called her brother that night, and he could think the same thing.
No way. It's not going down because they already know what time it is. That's why I could just feel safe.
You don't know this woman. You know nothing. You are taking a lot of speculation. Again, I don't want to speculate about her. I don't want to speculate about him. I'm only going by what I've seen. I can't speculate what kind of woman she is.
Yo, I saw him beat a woman. I saw him beat a woman. That's not speculation. I saw him punch a woman twice. That's not speculation. That's the definition of I saw it with my eyes. That's not speculation.
So if she don't get knocked out and she just, you know,
if she don't get knocked out, he still punched her.
Why are you spitting her face?
I gotta be honest. I don't see a punch. I'm looking at this right now. I don't see a
punch. Slap.
You ain't say that, beloved.
Punch,
you ain't
slap.
Say that.
Her hair
I'm
just
saying,
flew
for
up in
the
air
argument,
for nothing.
I don't care. Hold up. I'm saying for the sake of the argument, he put his hands on her. She put his hands on him. That's how they get down. Now, that's their business. The NFL, on the other hand, makes me mad because now they're using him as an example to all the rest of the Negroes in the league.
I don't think they have a choice.
And that's messed up.
And see how you're playing that card. It's BS for you to play that card because they gave him a 2-game suspension when the whole world, including black people, was saying that's all he gets.
I think that was just. Two-game suspension.
Okay, you think that was just, but you didn't see everybody else complaining? Like, when they gave it to him, I wasn't upset either. But the only reason I wasn't upset is because there was no precedent for this. So I'm like, okay, that's a very difficult decision for the NFL to make because they don't have precedent for this. So that's why I wasn't complaining. But everybody else was complaining about that's all he gets. Now that they flipped it and, you know, the Ravens they fired him and now he's on indefinite suspension. Now everybody's going crazy. Oh, man, they're making an example of him. I'm not saying you because you were cool with it from the door, but I do know some people who just flipped. Like, they thought he deserved more, and now, they're going too far. Yo, at this point, they don't have a choice. So I don't understand how you're playing that card when they tried to protect this dude in the first place. They gave him 2 games when the whole world came back at them. Then they had to make a policy that didn't even apply to his punishment because it was too late. Then when the video came out, okay, that's it. Come on, you got people that's going to protest this thing. Yo, if you own a company, Al, if you own a company and your employee,
somebody's life.
Listen, if you own a company and your employee gets,
you're missing a point.
On national,
put them in a position to be able to do that.
Yeah,
guy was blessed. He was blessed to play a child's game and make a living doing so. He put himself in a position where they can do that. You see what I'm saying? You got to be smarter than that, man. He's playing checkers in life when you got to play chess. That's the problem. The problem
is,
he's in a casino.
He got
yo,
so mad. He lost
up,
his
but he has to be smarter than that. No matter how mad you get, you have to be smarter than that.
That's easy for you to say sitting right there. But when you dealing with, see, this is why I got
to. Sam, I had a woman pull a gun to me, Sam. I didn't hit her. No, I mean, I ain't trying to put all my personal business out there, but at the end of the day, I've been through some stuff too, man. But I'm smart, though. I'm smarter. Like, you got to be smarter. He put himself in a position
where
they could.
Maybe he's a dumb jock. Maybe he's
so therefore, he put himself in a position where this can happen to him. I don't feel sorry for him, but I do hope that he gets help because obviously he needs help, even if it's just his anger. He needs help. I don't want to judge him, like I said, but I am judging what I saw on that tape. I could
don't
do that. I'm not speculating about her.
How about Vegas?
I thought you knew her, though. The way you were talking about her, I thought you knew her or something.
Huh? I just know the type. I know the type she is. I don't have to know her personally to know her type.
But what I'm saying is I also know the type that get beat to the point where they do marry someone because they're scared. I know that type, too.
I never met
no
black woman
at
work.
Eat the cake,
that
anime.
Was that scared of, huh?
Nothing, man.
Oh, you bringing up Tina Turner? Ah, man.
I mean, I
that
can bring up a lot of
different. That's a different breed of woman, though. That's old school.
Oh, and now it's like, a different woman.
Yeah, because these new, that's why I said they turned, in my post, I said that's why they turned into savages. You can't, listen,
yo,
man, and if you don't believe me, go out there and make one of them mad, and then see if you can calm them down.
We appreciate your call. We got to get to another call, brother.
Yo, but the thing is, man, now when you were telling me yesterday that there's a different, you know what I'm saying, it's a different side to this, you know, it's the dirt side. I understand that all well and good, but, yo, it's all about who you associate yourself with. Like, I'm not on that side no more, man. So I'm not down with the savages, and I can't just call this woman one just because, you know, somebody spitting in her face. That's
but
a
it's
human
okay to call
react.
Him
you
a woman
ask,
beater.
As, that,
you, everybody
yo,
him an
I
abuser,
saw
though.
Him beat his woman, though. You keep saying that. You're speculating
no
that he's this and
see,
she's
this
that.
You don't
I saw
out,
him.
Out,
woman
out, 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 out,
there was no
out,
reason
out,
to spit
out.
On that woman and punch her, man. No, there was not a reason to spit on her and punch her.
Said
what did you see
he
her
made
do?
Her mad.
Okay,
that
go back and watch the video.
Her okay. When you're in a relationship with a woman, she's going to make you mad. You're going to make her mad. But that doesn't justify putting your hands on someone. And at the end of the day, what you're doing is speculating. You don't know anything about her. You don't know what she said. You don't even know that she made him mad. You're speculating. When someone
first
says
all,
he hit her, that's not speculation. That's a fact.
Yo, the quote, the
he's
the
that
cliche,
mad that he's going to spit on her for
and,
no
and
reason.
And he said he was under
no
the
reason.
He said he was
yo,
drunk. He
I'm
said it was hard liquor
y'all,
that he was on.
Clues of the whole,
yo, y'all got it.
I'm using the context clues. Of the footage.
You're speculating.
I could go by.
Right, we get you. You
listen,
got the
this is the last thing because
we
got to get to a bunch of calls.
Know what's
call,
man.
We got to get to a bunch of calls, but look, the last thing is, no, it's the saying is true, dog. There's a thin line between love and hate. So the person that you love the most in this world is the person that knows how to push your button the most in this world. So whether you have a girlfriend, fiance, wife, come on, that person is going to make you angrier than anybody else can at certain times. All
yo.
Couples argue. You don't get mad to the point where you spit on them or
yo.
You or you punch them
that's
because you're upset.
Savage.
There is no reason yo. For that, man.
Hold on.
So I don't. I,
hold
we
hold
can't
on,
justify
hold on, hold on.
Human
Dev,
beings.
Dev, we gotta get to another caller.
I know.
We got
the line's blowing up. Hey, Al,
something.
Thanks for the call, though, man, because you said
like
you were going to call in. You called
right,
in,
Al.
I appreciate it.
Was crazy to
thanks,
me.
Thanks, Al.
Because. Hello?
Yeah. Let's get the
oh,
we gotta
okay.
get the Naeem.
We got calls.
Yo, that call was crazy to me because it was, as Jimmy so adamantly pointed out, it was a black man beating a black woman's ass. And excuse my language, listeners, but I can't really. There's no cut cards here on this one. How are we ever going to come together and heal ourselves as a people with these types of prevalent attitudes out there? And I was just, like, I was floored, amazed, and shocked on social media. I didn't think that there was anything that could shock me coming off of social media. I thought I'd seen it all. But the sentiment of my fellow African-American males towards this situation, I'm sick. Like, I'm, like, there's nothing
but
you
know what, Beyonce, I'm not just going to put it on them. I'm not going to put it on them. It's all men. And then, you know what? Even I've even seen females take up. No, I've seen females. I've seen all races, all colors. It's people,
oh,
man.
My God.
As humans, we're effed up. Like I said, the black. To me, I hold the black women in the highest regard. I believe they're God.
There's the whole victim angle. Because black people have been treated the way they're treated in this country and continue to be treated that way, we have what I like to call is a victim mentality. Like, we don't take on the role of survivor. We're always looking for the oppression, the oppressor, and how he's beating us down, which is still very valid,
but you can't
take
on that
mentality. We still have to hold ourselves to a standard of accountability, responsibility for our actions, empathy for our fellow man. Like, you're a human being first. You're a man or a woman second, and then you are whatever your label is in terms of your culture, your ethnicity. Like, from a human standpoint, there's no way to defend this and say that you are standing up for black rights or, like that's a black woman. That's your wife. That's your – yo, these dudes are crazy. I've seen all types of from excusing his actions to getting the point misconstrued and getting caught up in what the NFL is doing
and what corporate sponsors are doing. Yo, they never love us. To quote Dre, they never, like, I'm never shocked to see what the NFL, the NBA, these are institutions owned and controlled by old white men who don't really have an interest in the black community. Not to say they hate us or they hate us or they do hate us. I don't know whether they do or they don't. But why are we so concerned with them and their response to this?
I think the focus is off when people talk about that. Now, we got to get to these calls because, you know, and let everybody make their point short because we don't have that much time left. But I just think the focus is off on that because, I mean, I can, from a business owner's perspective, at this point when your employee is out there on national media on a video, you know, punching his girlfriend, there's nothing left that I can do because now you're starting to affect my bottom line. And even if I tried to protect you before – once your personal problems start to affect my bottom line, then, okay, I'm going to have to be a hypocrite on that. So, you know, I understand that the NFL are hypocrites, but at the same time, that shouldn't be the focus here, man. There's no excuse for that behavior. Let's go to the homie Naeem out in B-more. Naeem, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm laughing. I'm going to keep it short, but this is my problem with the whole situation. And I saw a lot of y'all posts and read a lot of people post. This is my whole problem with it. Without the videotaping, like you said, without technology, first of all, this man went to court, admitted it. He hit his wife. Well, he took the deal. He didn't have to admit it. He took the deal for 3 years.
He got the pretrial intervention treatment.
Yeah, exactly. Pretrial, you know, that's admitting guilt. So that's my thing with it. And when he first got punched 2 games, I really thought that was a slap in the wrist. Like, he got off. You know what I mean? So I kept it moving. My thing is, on Monday morning or Tuesday when I woke up and I saw the videotape again and they dropped it,
I
was mad because it got real because it's like I got mad about this right here. 4 hours later, Governor Christie is on the news talking about we got to look into our laws and change our laws. For who? For people with money, middle class, or poor people? Because JoJo might beat his mother every day, baby mother every day, sitting in jail right now. So who you change the laws for? See, this is bigger than Ray Rice. This is why I'm saying, like, he's a scapegoat. He's a scapegoat. He's he's a known athlete, an athlete in a sport which a lot of people with that's most of them that's around women.
Naeem, this is B. We got to change the language when we describe because he's not a scapegoat. And I get
not a scapegoat. Well, they're using
if,
him.
If it was
you right
or I, we would be going to jail. So
the example is going
to
be set.
The fact that black people are upset with this, Ray Rice is not going to jail as of right now.
No, he's not going to jail.
That
would cause a riot.
He's going to get $9 million next year, whether he plays or not. Yo, the dude made out.
This is my point. I'm not talking about making out. But for a governor to come in, if he wants to get credit now to say, I want to look into changing laws or change the laws, that's crazy.
They definitely look for that lightning rod for them to jump onto a cause. I definitely get that. So
and when
Right now, Ray Rice is the face of domestic violence.
They dropped the tape, and this is the thing.
He did it.
And I might be sounding like Jimmy, conspiracy theory, but they dropped the tape when you got the trial. Not the trial started yet, but the charge of the New York cop on Tuesday happened. Nobody talked about that. Him being charged for homicide, we're going to keep these folks busy with social media talking about Ray Rice. Like I said, 9/11 happened today. You didn't see that much going on about that, talking about that. Everything is still on Ray Rice. Keep our attention off everything else.
If it wasn't TMZ that dropped the tape, though. You think TMZ in cahoots with the politicians?
I don't think TMZ.
Everything
think
they do is illegal.
Somebody saw
everything they
TMZ.
Do is illegal.
But here's my point. I hear everything you're saying, and you know I'm a conspiracy theorist to the heart. My whole issue is this man put himself in a position for them to do that.
Oh, yeah, from day one. From day one, though, when we all saw that tape, we knew he hit her. And I'm like, what happened to the tape?
It definitely becomes real. And the thing about the politicians jumping in, this is an easy issue for them because there's only one side to this issue. So there's really no kind of like no backlash. I saw all kinds of congressmen and senators and city council people all jumping in to talk about this situation because think about it. This is a hot button topic. This is a hot button topic where there's really going to be no opposition. So this is an easy topic.
But they're not changing laws about the cops shooting the kid in Missouri. They're not changing.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Naeem, the issues are getting confused here. What I'm saying, the politicians and the powers that be never cared about us anyway. So
all this
is an opportunity for them. So we can't be surprised at what they're
doing.
But
this is my point, though. This is my point.
It's being allowed.
We shouldn't be focused on that. We shouldn't be focused on this. If we wouldn't, we're so quick to hang each other. And this ain't a black white thing. We're so quick to hang a person, period. Especially in our race. But when we're so quick to hang each other that we're forgetting about the other stuff that's going on. And that's what they're doing with us on social media.
No, I mean,
that's
me. To some extent,
I'm not,
I understand where you're coming from with that.
I'm not.
But you know what, though?
That's
also not true because people like to throw that around, but stuff is still going on in Ferguson to this day. There's still protests. I saw a bunch of students in Jersey yesterday laying the road in protest. People like to say, well, no one cares about Chicago. That's not true either. There's protests every day in Chicago. There's protests in Philadelphia every day in terms of what's going on with the school. But the fact of the matter
but
is because the media doesn't cover it.
Attention.
Because the media doesn't cover
it.
There's things going on and people do care.
Yeah,
the fact of the matter is about what's being covered.
You can't let the media dictate to you what you care about at the moment. If you still care about something, then it doesn't matter that
they're not dictating, but they're paying Ray Rice any mind right now.
And you know what? Another thing I ended up saying,
I was like, damn, you got to go through this again. Huh.
And my whole thing is, this is a black woman. This is a black woman, so that bothered me even more because I hold black women in high regard. And y'all can at me.
I'm
going to
leave y'all.
Yo,
I'm
going to leave y'all on this note. I'm going to leave y'all on this note. Now, this is
we
got to
go.
I'm going to go. We just talked about Jay-Z and Solange thing. Why was everybody talking about, we was all worried about what happened between them instead of being like, why is this woman hitting this man? Why is she ain't being charged?
She was out of line, but we all know, man. It's like that's a different threat level, man. Everybody keep talking about that and want to make that comparison. Was Jay-Z really
threatened? Well, it's not a comparison. No, when the radio got to
Jay-Z,
he's a gentleman.
Rip her up. She would have been gripped and confined. I don't know, man. It's just difficult to make that comparison. I guess being a man, because I'm like, I'm looking at. Hey, thanks for the call, though, Nye. Yeah, because I'm looking at the threat level, B. Austin. Like, come on, man. It's just not that serious.
All of these dudes
trying to box.
Listen, the funny thing about men is. All of these dudes, if it's us and we're in a room and we talking ish and beers involved or we out on the basketball court or we on the soccer field, the football field, wherever we are doing our thing, and it becomes a physical altercation, I got to whoop his ass, he got to whoop my ass, then it's no problem. But now when a woman is charging us, all of a sudden we care about the fairness of the situation. Listen, man, I'm 6'1 and 250. God bless every woman out there. Lord knows you guys are stronger than men in a lot of ways, but there ain't no woman that's walking this earth, in my estimation, that's making me shook in a physical confrontation and altercation.
Where you
I'm
think
not.
You're that threatened.
Like, you're getting gripped up. You're just getting gripped up. There's no, like, I'm not hitting you, I'm not striking you, and I'm not that worried. It's like, now these dudes want to play, again, it comes that we want to play a victim role on something that, you know, the threat level isn't the same. Like, come on, man.
No, but you know what, B. Austin, the one thing that we disagree on, I don't think that it's just African Americans. I've talked with some white men that are just as appalled. I mean, you know, maybe it's
right.
a male chauvinist thing. Who knows? But at the end of the day, my whole thing is, again, I'm not judging Ray Rice. I hope he gets help, but I'm judging what I saw on that tape. And I just
think,
you know, it's
Jimmy, it's not that we disagree. I agree with you, but I know the trauma and pathologies in my community, so I see this impacting us differently than it impacts them, even if we have the same feeling. Because remember, we're all humans first. We're men or women second before we ever get to ethnicity and race. So, sure, men feel the same way, and there's the same level of shenanigans on both sides, whether it's white or black. But the white community faces different levels of problems than the black community. So this has a different impact on us.
Well, I mean, I guess it depends upon you.
Line blowing
all up, I'm saying is, and I understand. Yeah, let's get to the phone lines. We ain't got to go through this. We can talk off air. Let's get to the phone lines. Cause we got a gang of people.
Let's go to Jonathan out in the D.C. area, Maryland. John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, War Room family?
It's crazy.
What's going on?
What's up, man? We got to take everybody's thoughts quickly.
It's a week. I'll be real quick. I mean, obviously, Ray Rice is a hot topic. By the way, someone says 6'1", 250. I doubt a woman would handle me. I guess you never met China.
China can get it too.
Yeah, China will go down the same way any other woman would go down.
That's true.
Especially from
I call my man Ray Rice, evidently.
He'll handle that.
Just for jumping on that, and then I guess we'll be done with it. You guys all made some great points. Alcohol was involved, obviously. It is sad, again, that there's someone said something about the racist coverage, I think. And I do think there's a little bit of a double standard for African Americans, especially with money.
Always.
When you
that's not going anywhere.
Law. When that's
not going anywhere.
And Ray Rice should have used his mind. Some people, once somebody just said, well, he needs help, well, he's already been getting help, which no one's talking about either. He's been getting help since the incident, according to what I'm understanding here. Now, was that all to the side? You guys all made great points. Let's get to the fact of Roger Goodell and the NFL office and the Ravens to some degree. Who messed up? Because now it looks like there's a cover-up. Roger Goodell comes on national TV on Tuesday. He states no one in the NFL management side knew about this incident. At least the situation of a video or it was or whatever at that point. And then everybody when they saw the video, everything went outrage. I call BS because obviously, well, Ray Rice had told him in June when they had their meeting that, yes, he did hit his wife and he didn't hide anything back. And also there's the reports that someone from the NFL, a female executive, by the way, viewed the video in April of this year and had said the words that it was recorded. Yes, and said, oh, my God, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm sure she discussed this with Mr. Goodell. So my whole thing is that can this cause Roger to possibly lose his job or have to ask to be resigned? Now, keep this in mind.
I hope not.
Roger Goodell,
I hope it doesn't.
Roger Goodell from 2010 to 2014, under his stewardship, and I'm just looking at the money. I think, Dev, we talked about this online the other day. The NFL's value has increased 40% in 4 years.
Exactly, which is why he can't lose his job.
He can.
If I'm an owner.
That's why the owners don't want this to be, because that's why they're doing the investigation now, and they're hoping to God that the investigation doesn't come up with anything incriminating to him, because of course they want him there because he's great for their bottom line. But the publicity will be bad for their bottom line if indeed you find out he's telling bold-faced lies to the media. So it's possible that he's going to lose his job, and I heard the owners say
to resign. And that's sad to some extent, because, you know, you don't want to see a guy lose his job on something that was out of his control, especially a botch. This obviously was a botch situation because, I mean, you know, domestic violence has been around forever. Again, going back to the double standard, and I know this is a whole different category, but there's been other folks, per se, that have been in that situation and didn't get as much media exposure or coverage as Ray Rice has been getting the last two
years. Y'all keep forgetting about this videotape, man. In the age of social media, when every single person with a computer or a phone or a tablet or a television can see this video, it's different for a company's bottom line. Yo, everything, before the age of social media, you can sweep things under the rug a lot easier. You know, before
the
tape
never came out, he'd be playing next week.
He'd be playing next week if this video never came out. That's what people keep. Yeah, that's what people aren't understanding. And then when the next thing happened, or if something else, you know, if Ray Rice was spared and he played next week and this video never came out, and say a video came out of somebody else 6 months down the line, they would be Ray Rice, and Ray Rice would be sitting there playing, and you'd be saying that about him. Well, Dad, they went easy on Ray Rice. He didn't get this kind of scrutiny because nobody saw it. That's the bottom line.
Other point is, this is remaking the NFL. It is now domestic violence has took the forefront finally. And on top of that, you have to adapt now, the NFL. They have to adapt. They have to take some of these matters more seriously than they have before.
The NFL had to be advocates for dogfighting. Like,
right.
Somebody does something,
I mean,
they got to take that on.
That, but,
but that's what you're going at. Now, in regards to the Ravens organization, you know, Bisciotti, he's been one of the more fair owners in the NFL. There's not a lot of bad things you can say about the guy. I feel bad, not for a billionaire, to step outside the money, but I feel bad for himself and his organization because living in Baltimore, I've seen a lot, their fan base is pretty loyal. I mean, look, they handled, and I hate to keep bringing this up, but the Ray Lewis situation, that, I mean, no one else can handle that better than probably the city of Baltimore, right? I hate to see that Baltimore, again, is in a situation where they have a player that's given a black eye, indirectly or directly, to the city of Baltimore or to the team, and they have to go through this again with a black eye. And now, you know, you got these marketers who are still thinking about taking their money away from the Ravens and all this other stuff because they feel like the Ravens weren't honest with them as well with the situation of not knowing the video. With all the money and everything goes involved in the NFL.
But see,
think about it.
This is why.
Spend millions of dollars just to research these players, just to find
but
out.
But here's my thing, Jonathan. But this is why. This is why when you get to that level, right? You have
right.
to be smart because there's like a butterfly effect in terms of him making that one decision. Even if we take the last call, you know, take his theory, and she made him that mad, he has to be smarter because it's not just him. A lot of people will lose their job based upon his decision. That one decision can, you know, and I try to tell this when I talk to younger kids and mentor younger kids, listen, you can make one decision that can follow you for the rest of your life, so you have to be smart. Because no matter
right.
what he does, Ray Rice can be a good guy, right? But that's not what
right.
he's going to be known for. No matter what he does the rest of his life, he is the face. He's the new Ike Turner, the new Chris Brown. Like, this is what he is. This is going to travel with him. So that one decision, let's just say he was a saint before then. That one decision is going to change the trajectory of not only his life but a lot of people's lives, so you have to be smart out there, especially as an African-American man when everything's against you anyway.
Right,
okay.
We got a lot of calls, Joe. We
got to
go to these.
Okay, and this is my last question, you guys, and you guys can brutally answer this. And I'm talking from a legal standpoint now. Let's get, well, we all understand he's suspended and everything, but and I know the NFL has his great power, but just like court cases, double jeopardy, can Ray Rice and his legal team sue the NFL. The reason being,
there's no double jeopardy in the sense of the legal system or judicial system. They can sue and try and make that set that precedent and say, you know, bad faith in terms of what's going on, but they may win that or they may lose it. It's not a clear.
But you also notice Ray Rice hasn't publicly. He hasn't publicly been negative towards the NFL because I'm thinking that he understands that with the two-game penalty, they were trying to protect him in the first place. And at this point, they really have no choice but to, you know, to do what they have to do. But if he wanted to take that route, he may have some legal recourse, but I'm pretty sure, you know, they got some
settle with him when he gets some money. But I can't see him playing again. What team, like, forget first of all, he was on a downswing of his career anyway. It's not the Ray Rice of 3 years ago. The dude's averaging 3.1 yards a carry. So he was on his way out the league anyway. But I can't see a team taking a risk on him when he isn't that great of a back that he used to be, for one. And for two, the distraction that will come with putting him on your team. Who's going to take a chance on him? So he may win. He may sue. He may settle, get some money. But, I mean, I think the league is going to wash their hands with him.
Especially now that 49% of NFL consumers are women. What happened? John, we got to take these other calls, John. All right.
Let's take the other call.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I think he dropped. All right. He's about to my he don't want to talk about the John. He can't change the topic right now. We're rolling. Let's go to Mojo real quick from the season ticket. Mojo, I know you've been waiting.
It's fine. I'm in the crazy noisy space, so I can't really talk anyway. But I think dude that called with the Philly accent, the first dude, was way, way to the left of base. Like, he's really the problem. Like, you justifying saying because she was this, it's okay for him to hit her. Because she, they have that type of relationship. She that type of chick. Like, you know them people. Like, it was just so crazy. I was posting on my page, like, y'all got to call in and listen to this craziness because it's ridiculous. But,
she could have said at that moment, she could have said, F your mama, your family, your sisters, your dead grandma, and there's no reason to do what he did.
And just like Jimmy was saying, like, you put yourself in that situation. You know, people always try to go back to the Jay-Z and Solange situation, but in that situation, Jay-Z, the $500 million man, is like, son, I don't care what she do, I'm good. Because you understand, one, as a rich person in America, two, as a celebrity,
way more to lose.
And three, as a black man in America, you're going to take a L no matter what the situation is.
And,
it could be a situation
Mojo,
where...
And four, you was playing hide the fanny pack with Rachel Ray anyway. That's why she was mad.
No, seriously, though, like, everybody keeps going back to that Jay-Z Solange situation, but, I'm fine with people that want to make
the
comparison, because the comparison is this. Ray Rice and Jay-Z had a lot more to lose than Solange and Janae Rice. Jay-Z handled his situation
one,
the right way.
One person came out looking like a genius, and one person didn't.
Yeah. So that's on. I can't give him the excuse and try to flip it and say, well, what about Solange? Look, Solange did what she did. We don't know why, and Jay-Z handled it correctly. And that's why Jay-Z is still where he is today, and he's not being dragged through the mud like Ray Rice is right now. Like Jimmy said,
people talking double jeopardy, like, hello, they ain't charging me getting in court. This is a company, and they saying, we want to wash our hands with you. It's moral clauses in these contracts. It's all kind of stuff that gives them the right to say, all right, yeah, it was this, and we tried to protect you, like you said. But when the video was out there and now it's about my bottom line, you got to go. No matter what. No matter what you think, if you think it's fair, it's never fair for us.
Yeah.
We have to operate in that mindset going forward. Like, you just like think about, like, Kwame Kilpatrick, the mayor, the one that went to jail with the text messages with his assistant and other. Like, son, you're a black politician. Please don't think you could do what they could do, and it's because they watching you with a larger, you know what I'm saying, magnifying glass, and it's going to be 3-4 times worse for you in this place where we call America. It just is, and you have to operate in that way all the time, or you're going to take an L. I personally feel like y'all said, who going to take a chance on him? Like, it might be his only way to try to get some extra money is to sue the NFL because the union, the players union or whatever,
his salary for next season is guaranteed, and I believe that it's a portion of $9 million, up to $9 million, somewhere. But he's going to make a nice little chunk of change next year. So hopefully it'll be
right. Right, so I'm saying his best bet is to just let it ride. If somebody decides they want to, like you said, he on the downside of his career. He's not the Ray Rice of 2 years ago. So, I mean, he needs to just go somewhere and sit down, become an advocate, change, do some stuff, you know, and become active, and maybe, I don't know, his life is going to happen right now.
By the time, it might be too late for him. Like, let me
say,
he's averaging 3.1 a carry right now. So, and I know this has no bearing on the situation, but that dude was on my fantasy team, too. Damn it.
Yo, mine too, yo. And I think I lost week one based upon bad karma because, you know, I had an ignorant team name, but that was before I saw the tape. I mean, you know, before Wax gave the tape over to TMZ, you know what I'm saying, I had a different team name, so.
Yeah. Hey, Mojo, thanks for your call. And everybody, make
sure
you check
Mojo.
Out Mojo and the season ticket on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Just go to WRSPN.com. And look for the season ticket. Listen to their latest show because they got it in about this as well. So thanks, Mojo. We appreciate the call.
No problem. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, we got calls for days, man. We'll go to Rob
for
out in California.
Days.
Rob, what's going on, man?
What's up, man? Bananas in that war room, man. Bananas, man.
So it's really the war
tonight.
We
got a gazillion calls. Yeah, we got a bunch of calls. I mean, people feel some type of way about this one way or the other. Like,
yeah, we
got, you know, to the people that disagree
quick,
with
man.
This,
what's
listen, man, I appreciate you calling in anyway, man. Keep them calls coming, too. What's up,
yeah,
Ryan?
No doubt. Everybody don't agree. Everybody got an opinion.
I'm just going to touch on one thing, and I want more on the football, other stuff. With Jameel, Jameel Hill, ESPN, what she wrote, she says, I honestly want to know why are some black men so determined not to protect and support us?
Yeah.
You know.
That was a good question. I saw you post that the other day. And I think it was a good thing that she wrote. I mean, a lot of people tried to slam it down like, you know, this is a human situation, not a black situation. And in some ways they're right, but then, you know, there's some people out there who don't understand the black situation and why she had to be specific like that, because we do have certain problems in our community that we need to take care of, you know, before we're, you know, broadening out to just things being human issues. So, you know, I got what she wrote. You know, I didn't expect everybody to understand what you were posting, but that's the
Look,
risk
man.
You take when you're in a diverse community. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah, all right,
so,
man. And I want to get y'all
thoughts football question,
Rob? On the upcoming games. What upcoming games? Like y'all looking up this week, man? Like
I'm actually, and it, you know, I'm not an Eagles fan, but I'm actually looking forward to that Eagles Colts game, because I want to see if the Eagles, you know, what they're really about. They started off slow, but they played well in the second half, and the same with the Colts. I mean, we saw the Colts fight back, so I want to see that game because those are two teams. Who struggled in the beginning of each game but played the second half, and I just want to see what each team has made. I'm actually looking forward to that game. It's a Monday night game, so I'm looking forward to that one.
As a matter of fact, Rob, just check out, go to YouTube, go to our War Room Sports TV, and click on the latest episode of Field Vision, because we talked about, we recapped game one, week one, and we talked about our games of the week for week two, just because we knew tonight we probably weren't going to get around to that. So check out our latest episode of Field Vision.
We did no Ray Rice talk, so that's all football.
Yeah, we did no Ray Rice on that, and that's all football. So check out Field Vision on War Room Sports TV real quick. Yo, thanks for your call, though, man. We're going to get back to these Rice calls, and we'll talk to you next week, and, you know, we'll be back in regular old sports mode. So thanks for the call, man. Appreciate it.
All right, homie. Black woman, you all appreciate it.
No doubt.
Yeah.
On his Tupac jump.
At me, y'all.
All right,
brother.
Let's get the
Tupac
Philmatic.
Cares. Don't nobody else care.
Let's get the Phil from Tissue and the Tape podcast, also on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Phil, what's going on, man? I know you've been on hold for
a while.
What's up, y'all? Everybody's chomping at the bent to get in this conversation.
Oh, no, it's all good. I was over here. Yo, what's up with your man, yo? Like, I was listening to it, and like, him really trying to matlock the situation to make Ray Rice seem like it was just like he gave her a high five, and I'm just like,
hey, man,
crazy.
Black,
but
the black woman, in his estimation, the black woman is a savage.
Listen, man, I don't mind when people disagree. I don't mind when people disagree with me.
No, it's cool
at the end of the day, we all have an opinion. I just personally just don't see it.
No, that's true too.
Saying?
Like I've always given Al props for speaking his mind. Like he's not afraid
yo,
to speak his mind.
I'm
like,
gonna tell you why I give
Facebook.
Al props. I'm gonna
if he's
tell you
got something to say, and it's not like in line with what a lot of other people think, he's still
he's
gonna
troll.
Say.
So,
hold on, B. Austin. I'll give him credit for this, B. Austin, because there were a lot of dudes that said, "I'm gonna call up and I'm gonna say this." I mean, it's some dudes that was like, you know, it was dudes online talking about, "Yeah, I hit women." I mean, you gotta put them in line, and I'm like, "All right, well, just call up." None of them called up. I mean, he disagreed with us, but he had the gonads to call up, so it's losing for that. So, but anyway,
yo,
people have said that,
man.
Like real talk, people said that.
But like,
they hit me with
the
Sean
Connery too.
Yo, people say anything on a computer.
The Sean Connerys of the world, but
yeah, even Sean Connery.
The thing is that's crazy. There's three parts to this. There's the football part. Then there's the media part, and then there's the business part, and you can't lump them all together, and that's what's happening. But
right.
Everybody's looking at it from different angles. The football part, Ray Rice, he wasn't that good anymore, so they didn't necessarily have to save him. They wanted to save their salary cap. He wasn't a big star, So that's that part of it. He was expendable as a football player. More importantly, on the media side of it, like y'all been saying, anytime something is on video, it's going to be magnified. It's forever. YouTube doesn't go anywhere. It's up in the
More
cloud.
People got
we
to
all
see
know
it.
The
right.
cloud is it's like, you know, the new Terminator. It's yeah. you know, it's taking over.
Skynet.
Right, it's like Skynet.
Yeah, it's Skynet. So you when that video hit and I saw it and I got a wife, I got a daughter, we all have moms, you know, I got sisters, I got two little sisters. There's nothing that a dude can there's nothing you can justify or say that's gonna make what we saw in that video okay. I know you wanted to be cool and say we don't know Ray Wright's story. I almost cussed. It doesn't matter what his story is.
It doesn't
matter what his story is. And I wrote when I first saw it, I was like, I hope they let him play so he can get the Joe Theismann treatment. And I meant it. I wanted to see him get his leg broke. Because that's the only and people say, oh, that's, you know, that's cruel. And I almost cussed again. That's what it is. Because that's when you, because not only did he, first of all, he struck a woman, and I hold women in the highest regard because I have so many women, I'm surrounded by so many, my dog's a girl. I mean, it's just the point of not only did he mess it up for himself, but the perception, he's continuing the perception that so many people have of black males, particularly black male athletes. He just
Great
justified
point. Great
stereotype
point.
That so many people have. Like, see, there they go. Not to mention that there's an ultimate fighting dude walking around that beat his girl up, you know.
War machine.
And that's a whole other thing. But strictly about Ray Rice and what B. Austin was saying about black culture and black people, their effect on black culture is much bigger. Yes, it is a human issue. It is a general issue, but the effect that it has on black culture, it's just like the music. The music is for everybody, but it's really for us. You know what I'm saying? And that's what a lot of people are missing. They've affected black people where they're polarizing black people, where people are deciding to take sides, or they're trying to stick up for Ray Rice or justify him hitting her. And then other people saying, you know, he needs to get his leg broke like how I think. that's the second part.
Nah,
Then you have
go ahead,
the third part.
Get this one off because we got to get to some
oh,
other
yeah,
calls
I,
in
I
the
you,
next
I know
couple
you got
minutes.
Bad people.
Go ahead,
I'm gonna just get this last call.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls.
The NFL, the business part. They messed up. And then they tried to recover and then they made it worse. But at the bottom line, the end of the day, and I heard Dev say it, it is a business. And I hear people saying double jeopardy. That only applies to court. Like,
court.
The NFL is a business. If
they
want to
change their mind and fire you, they can do that.
If you burn the fries, parties can fire you. You know, if you he is an employee of the NFL. They can do whatever they want in terms of firing him. And that's what they did. The Baltimore Ravens chose to fire them. The NFL chose to suspend him. He works for a franchise of the NFL. So there is no double jeopardy. He can't. I mean, he can try to sue. He won't win. Because
the only recourse he may have, Phil, is the fact that they did make a policy after that, but he might not even apply to that because the policy was made after his initial punishment.
Yeah, he
so that policy might not even apply to
him. He said it's a clean slate. So everything that happened before the policy is exempt from the policy. So he doesn't even fall under that rule. So he can't go to that and say, hey, well, what about, you know, the
Yo,
hit two in your two.
And Phil, I just want to say one thing. The bottom line is, yo, when y'all out there doing whatever it is y'all do, man, stop getting caught on tape. I just saw now that the whole situation with Danny Ferry, somehow out of the blue, a year later, the audio just dropped. They found the audio of it. So Danny Ferry's probably the next one to get hung.
You are a celebrity.
That's breaking
you
news.
You got to stay away.
Breaking news.
I mean, you got to be smarter. Like you've been saying, you have to be smarter. Like Jay-Z. People keep trying to compare him. Jay-Z was smart.
And that's the difference. That's why he's worth $500 million, because he's smarter than the other niggas that do what he does.
But listen, we got to go, Phil. But listen, the reason they're making that comparison, the reason they're making that comparison is because they're trying to say, well, there's nothing like this when a woman's hitting a man. That's really why they're making a comparison. They're not even really talking about Jay-Z doing the right thing. They're trying to say, well, how come she can hit him and it's not the same thing? That's what they're really saying. But thanks for the call,
it's
Phil,
also
man.
The
make sure y'all check
thing, but...
Tissue and the Tape out. That's also on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Go to WRSPN.com and check that out. We're going to get another female perspective here. We're going to go to Tanda up in Philly.
Yo,
hey,
we
Tanda,
got calls for days.
Hey, this is Tanda. I'm calling.
Tanda.
Hello.
What you
how
got to
you
say
guys?
About Ray Rice and the whole situation, man? I know you've been itching. You've been waiting. Get your paws all over the issue.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. We all know it's crazy that the NFL swept it under the rug. We know that it's ridiculous that he hit a woman, that he's physically not, she's not physically matched to defend herself. But the perspective that I wanted to bring to light is the perspective of a mother. Now, I monitor what my son watches on television. He's not watching TMZ. He's not on Facebook. He's not on social media. He doesn't see any of this. But what he does do, he's a very impressionable young child. He waits for his Sports Illustrated magazine to come every week. And this week, the cover of it says the Ray Rice video. And I had to explain to him about domestic violence. I had to have this conversation with him why it's not nice to hit girls. Why?
Right.
He knew exactly who Ray Rice was. He played for the Baltimore Ravens, Mommy. He was one of the best. I had to have this conversation with him of why you should never hit a woman, a daughter, a mother, a sister of someone, period. And him just being who he is, and I'm raising a little young black athlete, and this is what he sees, and his mother has to explain to him, it kind of broke my heart a little bit, because he's looking at the cover looking for a sports
right.
shot, some kind of, you know, football
yeah.
shot, some kind of basketball shot. But what he sees is Ray Rice walking in the elevator behind a woman that he's about to spit on and sucker punch.
See, Tanda, and that's another component of this whole story that the people who are trying to make halfway defenses of him, this is another component that they're not thinking about. You know what I'm saying? There are young, impressionable minds watching this, and now parents have to, you know, have conversations that they may not have been ready to have yet. And, you know, and at the same time, I don't know, it's just messy. Yeah,
that's a great point and a great perspective, because now, you know, doing sports, and I think I'm sure we talked to, I'm sure that you share the perspective as a father. Yo, that's all we think about. That's all we think. Like, what is my son going to see, or what's my daughter going to see? Like,
yeah, that's definitely this is Jimmy, by the way. That's definitely an interesting perspective, and it also made me think. Like, when I was a kid, the way I learned about a lot of things in life was through sports. So it's a gift and a curse. Like, I learned a lot about racism by watching the Phillies back in the day, because they were the most racist team. That's a whole other story. But I learned a lot about things in life.
Yeah,
we're about to go. So thank you for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
Do your thing.
Thank you.
You already know.
Hey, let's get to one more. We got to get to Tobias. Tobias, yo, you literally have 30 seconds, man. What's going on? Sorry we got to you last. There's a whole lot of other people behind you, but.
Let's get this out of the way.
You got 30 seconds.
Let's get out of the way. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and beat game on this. First, why no one ever says no one should lay their hands on anybody? Violence is violence in my book. We should not glorify when women hit men, and we should not demonize men. Because I tell you this right now, ladies don't hit men. Scalawags hit men. But let's peek game on this real quick. The National Organization of Women don't care about you black women, including you, Jemele Hill. Black men have protected black women from domestic violence for years. We all know black men who go to jail for protecting the black woman because you said her old man hit her. We all know that. It just don't get plastered in the media. And I'll say this real quick. We're a National Organization of Women when Marlene Pinnock, that 51-year-old grandmother in L.A., who got getting beat MMA style by that cop on the freeway, that black woman got drugged out of her house naked in New York and got beaten on. Where were they at? And I'm done.
All right. Thanks for your call, Tobias, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Damn tired.
He stole my closing argument. That's what I was going to bring up. Shout out to you, Tobias.
Yo, Tobias came on like, I'm going to tell you why I'm
at. Get out of here, man.
right, yo,
yo, he broke it down real quick, man. You know,
yo,
we know racism exists.
You got to get out of here.
Yo, let's get out of here, though, man. Yo, thanks for everybody that called in. For those we couldn't get to, we apologize, yo. You know, it's a crazy, crazy show today, man. Special thanks to Fred Perdue for talking his talk, you know, college football. Don't forget, catch us here next week back on our sports grind, you know, as we always do. Facebook, Twitter, at War Room Sports. We're going to recap week two next week, but make sure you Facebook, Twitter, at War Room Sports, WRSPN for the podcast network, WRSPN.com, WarroomSportsTV.com for the video content. As we always say, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top. Love you, ladies.
Jimmy, know the blueprint.
Yo,
every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, Be Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. If not, dial.
Call it
323 Brooklyn 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dez. DJ. Doc Bay. The officer.
Uh-huh.
I'm shot. Up here coming on the beat.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.